what I didn't think was a daunting task, but kind of came out as a daunting task. I was very excited to go because I love people.
Yes.
I know. Everybody is shocked. I like to go. I like to talk to people. I like to hear people's different opinions, not necessarily to, well, yeah, to kind of, I guess what I would say is like broaden my horizons and just to see, it's very beneficial to see how other people look at things. Sometimes living in Lancaster County, it's hard to get a grasp on how other people think about the church or just anything in general, really. So we want to thank you for thank the church for entrusting us to be able to go and represent you. We're the youngest couple in the church, so we really appreciate it. It's actually, it was really nice to, like, not that you guys, like, don't trust us, but, like, it's nice to, like, be trusted and, for young people like us anyway. We also appreciate all the prayers that you guys lifted up for us while we were there, before we went, while we were there, laying our hands on us before we go, all of that stuff God wants us to do. He wants us to be involved with each other. He wants us to pray with each other. He wants us to do all this stuff for each other. So we really appreciate that, and I appreciate also your prayers in the past week as we geared up to come in front of you and to speak as well. So in saying that, let's pray for a second. Dear Father, thank you for the Church of the Brethren and all the leadership that surrounds it. Thank you for giving Will and I the opportunity to be able to go to annual conference and to represent New Beginnings. Please help Will and I to use the correct words today, Lord, and talk about our experiences that pertain to the conference. Most of all, Lord, I pray that you are the focus, Lord, and that the correct words come out of our mouths today, Lord, so that we can enlighten the church, Lord, our church specifically, about the Church of the Brethren, the greater Church of the Brethren, Lord. And just thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Thank you for everyone here today, Lord. And I pray that I thank you that you are always with us, like that song said that we sang in worship today, Lord. Thank you for always being with us, Lord. Thank you for covering us with your protection, Lord. And I pray that that continues, Lord, as Will and I speak today about what went on in annual conference. In your name we pray, amen. So everyone told us that there was going to be a range of opinions there. And there sure were. Wow. Wow, it was astonishing, actually. The first thing we did when we arrived there Tuesday before the conference started. The conference started on Wednesday. And so Will is very organized, and so he wants to be on time or early, which is great because I'm late a lot. So it balances us, and everybody knows that here. So anyway, we got there, and we got acquainted with our hotel. And we walked around so that I would know where I'm going for business sessions, for other certain insight sessions that we wanted to go to as well, so I wasn't completely lost. Also, the first day that we were there, Tuesday evening when we arrived, we actually got to walk around Grand Rapids because we had a little bit of extra time, which is really nice. I've never been to Grand Rapids. It's a very nice little town. We kind of looked it up a little bit before we left to see just how big the town was. I didn't know how big it was. And so what did we say? It was three times as big as Harrisburg. Yeah. So I was thinking, I knew that it wasn't like as big as Philly. Since I go there all the time, I know about like how big that is. So anyway, we got to walk around there. It was very nice. It was very quiet. It was just nice to like not have to like jump in a car. Like we just like walked everywhere, which is weird from being in the country. but that was a nice, it was a way for us to relax and calm down and just kind of think about focus on God and think about what was going to go on for the rest of the week. And then let's see. Wednesday, we did a little bit of the same. We did, we went to a like new delegate meeting so that we kind of knew like what was going on as well, which was nice. It was actually very helpful. Cause there's a lot of stuff that goes on there. Like, I mean, like it starts at like 7 a.m. and like, it's not done until like 10 p.m. like every day. So like, they were like, okay, like don't get overwhelmed. Don't try to go and do everything. Cause you can't go and do everything. And I was like, okay, that's good. I can breathe. Cause I looked at the schedule obviously before we went and I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff to do. How do you pick? So obviously we had prayed about that and which sessions that we should go to and like downtime as well, which was also very important. I'm going to jump into the first worship session, which was Wednesday evening. Carol Shepherd was our moderator for this annual conference, and she is the one that spoke Wednesday evening. She had a great sermon. I really enjoyed her sermon. She was a very good moderator. She seemed very strong and she seemed very put together, and she knew especially when we were in our business session, she kept everybody straight. She kept different people coming up to the mic as well from both sides of the opinions when people were talking as well, which was very nice. The worship the first night, so there was, I think almost every night there was a specific music director that was the head of the worship. And so it was like a music director up front, and then there was a guy that played the guitar, a lady that played the organ, and another lady that played like the regular like piano for worship. So all of the music that was played were hymns, which I was expecting. Like I grew up in, the first church that I went to was Church of the Brethren when I was very young, and then we went to Brethren in Christ then after that, which was, I mean, most of the stuff was like littered with hymns, and I like hymns. I don't have a problem with hymns. But they were hymns that I didn't know. Like any of them, I mean, not many of them. I have all of the hymns that we sung. I think we sung each one once, I believe, if I counted correctly here. There was like four in there that I knew, and I was like, oh, like worship was. Disappointing, almost, when we were there. And like, I love worship. Worship here this morning was immaculate compared to what was there. It was, sorry. Yeah, like Pete, like, I don't know. Maybe I just haven't been around that many people from the Church of the Brethren all at one time before, but like there was no, like, gosh, like nobody was raising their hands, not many anyway that I saw. Nobody was like, you know, like I didn't expect people to be dancing in the I didn't expect people to be dancing like in the aisleways, but gosh, like do this or something. It was lacking. Something was missing. That was our first evening there, and I was like, all right, Lord, come on here. There's good people here. There's good things going on in the Church of the Brethren, Lord. Like, don't let me, I feel like the devil was trying to get me discouraged that first night. Both of us discouraged. And so I was like, all right, Lord, like, calm me down here. Like, maybe this was just a fluke. Okay. So the next morning, that would have been Thursday morning when we were there, I had my first business session from 8:30 to 1:30. And let me get to my notes here. Sorry. The first thing that we did was during that first business session, we had a Bible study every day when we were in where when we were in these business sessions, which was great. The man that did the Bible study's name was, help me. Say it again. Lauren Bowman. He was great. I liked him, and he was originally from Effort Church. Glenn and Joanne. Let me go on a side note. I'm sorry. Glenn and Joanne were like our mama and papa bear when we were there. Joanne told me not to say that. They were.
We had to show Joanne where her room was the one night because she didn't know where to find it.
When certain things happened at annual conference, they were supposed to stay at annual conference. Anyway, no, it was very nice to have them there because I felt like we had all kinds of questions all the time. And Glenn is a wealth of information of the Church of the Brethren, which is great. Like I learned a lot from him, and they were both very helpful, and we were very, very happy that we didn't feel like we were completely alone when we were there. So thank you guys. We really appreciate you guys being there for sure. It was very helpful. Anyway, so the first business session we were in, one of the first things we did besides the Bible studies, was they did this introduction of new congregations. And also everybody got to introduce themselves at their table, which is really nice. Sitting at these round tables is great. I don't like they've been doing it for 6 or 7 years or something like that, I think. And it is very beneficial. It is great. I sat with seven other people, and there was one guy that was from Washington, and then almost everybody else was like from where close to where we are. So there was another person from Pennsylvania, there was one from Maryland, one from North Carolina, and then another one from Maryland, I think. So when we sat at the tables that first day, we got to go around and we got to share a little bit about our church, which was great. I love talking about new beginnings. It's awesome. So we went around and we each said about like a little bit about our church, just kind of like a little bit of a like background and stuff like that. And so I was like the second person to talk, and I said about New Beginnings and where we are, and we're a small church and all that stuff. And as we went around the table, it was apparent to me that like a lot of the churches are actually small, which I don't know why I thought all of the Church of Brethren were huge, but I mean, yeah. So a lot of them were small, which was actually very nice. It gave me a sense of kind of like camaraderie with the rest of them, and I could, you know what I mean? You can like associate yourselves with them. So that was very nice. Anyway, as we went around the table, it became apparent to me that a lot of the churches are. They meet in these big buildings. So I said when I said my spiel about our church, that we meet in a fire hall. We don't have a building and all that stuff. And it seemed like all of the other churches had a problem taking care of their buildings. And a lot of money was spent in the buildings that they were in because they were in buildings like since the Church of the Brethren had started. And they were like I'm sure they're beautiful. They're old stone, kind of like when we went down to Philly. These big, beautiful buildings that need all of this work, and it's daunting to them. And so that was very interesting to hear, that's for sure. And it gave me a sense of calm about not having to do that, actually, kind of. Also, as we went around the table, a lot of the people said that their churches were diminishing in numbers. One guy specifically said that his church was dying. That's the exact words that he used. He said that, and he said that he was very comfortable with that, and he thinks that this is like their church has served its purpose, and that God is going to lead them somewhere else, and that he was cool with it. And then the guy right across the table said pretty much the same thing. He didn't use the word dying, but he said that the churches were downsizing in numbers and they were losing people. And he was completely afraid. He had a whole different aspect, like insight on it than the other guy across the table. So as I was listening to these people talk, I was kind of sitting back, kind of thinking about what is going on here. Like, where are all of these people going? Why is the Church of the Brethren losing so many people? I'm not sure what the answer is there, but it was hard not to think about. Also, during that first day, there was obviously there was a theme to the conference this year, and it was called Risk Hope. Along with that theme went what I would say is kind of like a catchphrase to that, and it was this: worshiping God alone and taking care of each other, which seems surfacely nice. As I thought about it more during the time that we were there, it kind of like overwhelmed my thinking. And I was like, well, worship is great. We worship every Sunday. That's a good thing. But I also believe that is a, I don't want to say small thing that God wants from us, but it's a small part of what God wants from us, I believe. He wants a relationship with us more than he wants us to worship him, I believe. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Please stop me. And I think if I would have stood up in front of the annual conference and I would have said just that God wants a relationship with us, I believe that many people there would have fainted. It just seems like there is a huge need for unity in the Church of the Brethren, which unity is fine, but I believe that when we were there, unity was held up on this pedestal that no one could touch. And I really believe that it's encompassing the Church of the Brethren, and they are not necessarily our church, I'm just talking about the Church of the Brethren in general. They are so obsessed with it that they will look past scripture as long as we are all unified. This speaks volumes in the issue of gay marriage and all of that. Obviously, we all know that is an issue in the church today. And all of that whole realm of sexuality, it's when one of the new congregations that was just committed to Church of the Brethren, they got up on stage and the lead pastor of this congregation was a lady, and she was a lesbian, and she had a partner, and they stood up on stage, and they were ordained as a preacher. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it. That's the example that I'll give for the unity thing. I think it's up, yeah, like I said, it's up on a huge pedestal, and like everybody is like bowing down to this unity thing, and I'm like, this is not how God pictured it. God wants us to be unified, that is true, but they've taken it too far, I believe. No. She was ordained in her district. Thank you.
Yeah, she was from the Pacific Northwest, I believe it was. So
she was ordained in their district. So, as it works, each district is allowed to ordain their own ministers. So you can ordain whoever you want. And so they ordained her, and then they started a church out in the Pacific Northwest, I'm sure. Brother in Christ.
Is that part of the Brother in Christ church?
I think it depends a lot on the district, though.
Yeah.
I mean, something around the Atlantic Northeast, that wouldn't fly in 1,000 years. But out there, if you've ever been to annual conference, that area is quite progressive, I guess you could say. So that, I guess they saw it was okay.
We would call it degressive.
Liberal. How's that? So you know, it depends. Wherever you're from is how they view if it's okay or not, which is. Yeah. It's mind blowing that we're all Church of the Brethren, but each congregation, each district, there's very few similarities between some of the districts. It's unbelievable. So.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's what I have written down here later. Right. So how do we move on from here? As Fanny said, they preached unity all week when we were there. If I don't have enough fingers or toes or anything on me to say to you how many times the word unity was used. And I don't know if that is a cover-up to cover up our how ununified we are. I don't know. Yes. Also, one of the other things that we noticed when we were there as well was a lot of the time when we had our Bible studies in our business sessions or we had worship in the evening, when somebody would get up to pray, they would always, this seems so minute now that I'm standing up here in front of you. They would always say Lord or God or Almighty or something like that. They never used the term Father, with an exception, well, technically two exceptions, I guess. There were two people that spoke at worship sessions that were like racially, I guess, racially diverse, I would say. And those are the people that use the word like father, or when there was a church or the brethren from Nigeria that was there when we were there as well. And when he spoke, you could tell that he used the word father, and it was more of like a relational thing between us and God, which is, I mean, what it should be, what I think New Beginnings believes in. We believe very highly in a relationship with God, that there's no like disconnect there. Like he is our father and we are his children. When we were there, it just seemed like he is like going back to this, catchphrase that went along with the annual conference, worshiping God alone and taking care of each other. It was all about like holding God up so high that he can't be our father anymore. And that just seems crazy to me. I don't know how somebody can't think, like they can't think that God is our father. Like, yeah, there's like some kind of relational disconnect there. When we were there, we both felt it. It was easy for me to see that it was, yeah, not everyone. This isn't everyone. It just, I guess the people that were outspoken, the people that were out from the Pacific Northwest, out in California or Washington, it just seemed like they screamed it. Like, and I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like, we need to have a relationship. Worshiping God alone is obviously what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to worship God alone. We're not supposed to worship anyone else. But just worshiping isn't good enough. God doesn't think that that's good enough. Well, right. So, yeah. So, can this non-relational worshiping, I guess I'll call it, thanks, Judy, can this be linked to why so many churches are losing people? I mean, seems obvious to me. I want to go back to a scripture that Scott was talking about last week. 2 Timothy.
Just going back to the churches losing people, I think what they say, the conference attendance this year was down, 1,200 or 1,300 people since last year? So that's a pretty, it's like a third of it went away, so.
Here I wrote down a couple of notes from last week from what Scott was speaking on. 2 Timothy, which one do I want to talk about first? Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Scott, you were right on last week. You can't be more right on than that. I feel very strongly that's what was going on when we were there. Not all of the time. Not all the time. All right. I'm making this sound like it was horrible. Not all of the time. Let's see. We went to a BRF banquet. That was great.
Brother Bible Fellowship.
Yeah. They were great. Wait, I have the speaker's name. Craig Smith, I believe, was the guy who spoke when we went to this. yeah, here we go. When we went to this BRF banquet. It was great. We had dinner. It was delicious because the Mennonites made it. They're great cooks. Craig Smith is the guy that spoke when we were there. His sermon was called The All-In Church, and I wrote a few notes about it that I want to share with you guys. He used he used 4G words in his sermon when we were there. The first one is, we want to be a going church, and that's from Matthew 28:18, and Matthew 28:18 says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The next G word that he used was glowing church. We want to be a glowing church. And he said, by doing this, we warm up people around us. People like to go to church where people like to go to church. People are watching us. They want to know how we glow through hard times. How do we glow through hard times? When I'm in hard times, I don't think that I'm necessarily always glowing.
Always glowing. I'm hoping this is being recorded so we have that.
The third G word that he used was be a growing church. Every living thing grows, he said. We are the body of Christ. We want to grow the body of Christ. Very true. Very true. The last G word that he used was be a godly church. And he said this, some churches are all about the laws. All about the laws, follow this and this and this. And then when the laws are perverted, some churches chase grace. But when it is perverted, people do whatever they want. God is our standard, he said. These are not my words. This is notes that I took when we were there. Why can't we be an example to the world by being these G words? I wish the whole conference heard this sermon. But again, they probably would have fainted. So. Did he? Maybe he did.
Yeah. Just retired. Oh. And that has been, this has been our theme, right, in Atlanta district. Northeast yeah. District for the past year, 2 or 3 years.
Okay. It's very good. It is a very good theme. When we were there, we also, obviously we did some business. We voted on some things as well. The one thing that took up a lot of our time in our business meetings was about this whole thing on Earth peace. I think Sean and Laura shared a little bit last year about this organization that is based out in the Atlantic, or sorry, Pacific Northwest, I believe. And so they are in association with Church of the Brethren. They are one of our, oh my gosh, I can't think of the word. Agency, thank you. Glenn's so helpful. Thank you. They are one of our agencies. there were struggles with them being an agency, I believe, in past years, and we had to vote. Let me back up 1 second. I'm sorry. The review and evaluation committee of the Church of the Brethren was set to come up with some kind of solution, because they were causing like conflict, I would say, in the Church of the Brethren. And so the solution that, right. So they were set to come up with some kind of solution, because there was people that were upset and causing an uprise about it, about what had previously happened between them. So what they came up with, was, let me get here to the right page. Sorry. We had to vote on this. So basically they said the review and evaluation committee recommends to the annual conference that On Earth Peace no longer remain an agency of the Church of the Brethren. That's what they came up with. So we had to, this was something we voted on. This isn't something that was like a set in stone thing. So the annual conference board sets things like if it has to pass by majority, or if it has to pass by 2/3 of a vote, whether it's very important that it has to be like a 2/3 vote, or not as important that it's just 50-50. This particular this particular thing was supposed to be 2/3 vote. So we talked for a whole business session on this, or was that the, I think it was on this, almost a whole entire business session, and maybe part of another one. So like 8:30 in the morning until 11:30, like it was like almost that whole one. And there's like, I have the orders of the day in there that we have to like do at like a certain time. But other than that, like it was a huge issue. And I do have to commend Carol Shepherd for trying to get people on both sides up to the mic, because it was very obviously, it was overwhelmingly like, or it seemed overwhelmingly that everybody was trying to like keep On Earth Peace. And she was like, okay, well, can somebody come to the mic that has an opposing opinion? And that was very nice, actually. She was very good at it, and I really appreciated that as well, on everything, really, on business of it, on every level. So we actually did a paper ballot for this, which is unheard of, I assume, there. We normally just like raise our hands and then like that's it. And they say, oh, well, that looks like 2/3, or that doesn't look like 2/3. And if somebody has a problem, they come up to the mic and say their piece, and that we have to like do like a revote or whatever. So it was paper ballot to begin with. It ended up failing. So On Earth Peace is still an agency of the Church of the Brethren, but 56% of the Church of the Brethren congregation that was represented there said that they should be kicked out. And I know that it was 2/3, but like how On Earth Peace thinks that they're like doing a good job, I don't know how you can feel like you're doing a good job when 56% of your population thinks that you should be kicked out. So I don't know. It consumed a lot of our time, and I don't know how much worth it was, I guess. I'm not sure entirely. On Earth Peace is a...
Yeah, explain a little bit about it, because I don't think Fanny and Chris probably haven't heard.
Oh, that's true. Actually, I think I have a thing that they gave us. I know, I guess I'm making it out to be not. It's supposed to be... Here, it says right on here. Throughout the decades, we have wrestled with all kinds of topics of the day, from war to equality for women, to biblical authority, to human sexuality, to abortion, to the end-of-life decision-making, and many others. No matter what or how challenging the topic, one thing has remained constant and clear, namely how we are to love and to live together in the midst of genuine differences over any of these topics. In 2017, On Earth Peace is lifting up this common thread of forbearance in our governing statements as a key maker of our faith, how we diverse brethren are built together in unity for continuing the work of Jesus. I'm not sure if I really understand exactly like what they do either, but they, since they are an agency of the Church of the Brethren, they are allowed to like solicit funds from churches and stuff like that. We, as New Beginnings, we don't give any money to them, which is why you've never heard of them, most likely. And I think, I guess they support very liberal things. Yeah, just on the basis of like I said before, like unity and peace, which Church of the Brethren is peaceful. That's what we like built our, I mean, a lot of our like statements and what we, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. Which is, yeah. Yes, please.
The person who started this, I think, was Amar Ziegler, is that right? Who is a very strong peace man. Church of the Brethren has always stood for being peacemakers. When Amar Ziegler started this, which was when I was a young girl, it was very good. And it was a very strong and a very in place thing to have happen. Mm-hmm. Remember that. But Church of the Brethren has moved from being a peaceful church to worshiping peace. It started out to be peacemakers. It has moved from being peacemakers to worshiping peace. Yeah. And if that's helpful in explaining this a little bit. Things like that happened very gradually through the years.
Yeah.
I think there's probably still some good things that happened there.
Yeah.
But it's that we have learned to worship people as not as a congregation but as a denomination. And that has been very difficult for me personally to watch that happen.
Yeah.
Because it's in my own family.
I think the one thing
has been separated by this whole thing.
One thing that really stood out to me, and it kind of alludes to what you're saying, but there just seemed to be an air of, it's more important to be Church of the Brethren than it is to have a relationship with Jesus. And that was, that just kind of hits you like a brick wall, you know.
That's not everybody.
Yeah, no, that's a very broad stroke I'm painting there, but that's kind of my whole, that's kind of how I took the conference to be. Granted, I did have a good time. I learned a lot, met some really nice people, but that's kind of how I felt the whole thing was.
Maybe we're painting a broader stroke than we should. I'm not sure.
I think the liberal portion that we don't agree with is very outspoken.
Yes.
And I know that we took a vote some years ago and I was at conference.
the outspoken majority is hard. I mean, that's, I don't know. It's harder than, it was harder than I thought it would be. Like, I, whatever, I go down to Philly and I, like, deal with liberal people all the time. And they're not, like, I don't know. They're not bad people. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm used to this. I can do this. This is fine. But it is, like, outspoken more than I'm outspoken. Sometimes. I don't know. We were, yeah. I guess kind of shocked, kind of not knowing what to do, sort of, I guess. But we met so many people, though. That was so nice. So many people from other different churches. Basically, I guess, really, like, around here or, like, through Glenn because he's a celebrity when we go there. He's shaking his head, but, like, if we're, like, walking down the hall with him, everybody's like, hey, Glenn. He's like, hey. He knows everybody's name. And if you... That was our representation. And if you would go in and watch Joanne quilt, all the little quilting ladies know who she is. They're cute. Those quilting ladies are cute when we were there. We did. It was an eye-opening experience. It was a fun experience. We did really have a good time. We really did. And there are good things going on in the Church of the Brethren, too. It's just, yeah, it's kind of, like, hard to, like, fish through all of the, I would guess, like, yeah, like we were saying, all of the outspoken minority is really kind of, like, overwhelming to fish through and to, like, find good people. I don't know if, like, maybe the unspoken majority is unspoken because I don't know why. Like, you have to, like, I found myself having to, like, go out and talk to people and see, like, what their opinions were. Yeah, to find out more about them and stuff like that. Like, it was, it was kind of difficult to fish through, which it shouldn't be because we're the majority, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we could be more outspoken, too. I don't know if that's the answer.
I do think the outspoken minority is definitely increasing in number, though. Just by somehow some of the votes went, the 56%, you know, that might have been 75% a couple years ago, but now it's down to 56%. So
yeah, well, end this year at conference, people that were not delegates could speak at the mic, which I was that always?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought that said that was a new. Oh, okay, just kidding. Sorry. Okay, I thought that they said that was a new rule this year. I must have been mistaken. Sorry. but, yeah, I don't. Do you have anything else to say, honey? I don't know. Did I say it all? Do I normally say it all? I think everything is left up to the districts, to be honest. As far as I know, it's very, like, the districts can decide a lot of things on their own and a lot of their own opinions on their own. I would say that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please correct me if I'm
wrong. Last year they turned it over to the Council of District Executives and also to the leadership annual conference, and they looked at it and they came back with a recommendation to having the districts take care of any discipline or anything like that. The 1983 paper still believes that it's wrong for paper still stands. But as far as the districts are the ones that ordain us. The district is the one that ordains anybody that gets ordained. They're responsible for it. So they're also responsible for dealing with situations that take place in the same-sex wedding situation or something like that. They would the district disciplines them. Coming through the ministry commission to the executive committee to the district board. And they are the ones that would take care of that.
I'm confused. I heard that the conference acknowledged a homosexual pastor or lesbian pastor, and you just said that's the church's policy that that's wrong.
The 1983 paper, if you read the 1983 paper,
it's largely what it doesn't mean anything, or the church isn't following.
I can't discuss that. I don't know what this the district. We are pretty much into it.
It's very individualized. I mean it's basically like you can almost
okay with being associated with other districts who go against our beliefs.
That's part of the Church of the Brethren.
We're
this
under
district here, this district
right.
here. The districts are unique.
Right.
You know.
So I think we're not sure.
All good questions.
Because we want to be unified.
Because in my mind, why being a brother, part of the brethren, everybody doing something different and they contradict it. We don't believe that what they're doing is right. Why being a part of all these big things that we don't believe in?
Wouldn't say I disagree with that feeling when I was like, how are we even associated with half these people? I mean, what they believe is nowhere close to what we believe.
But isn't the Bible pretty clear about the company that you keep eventually begins to influence you? Right?
Yes, sir.
So if you're saying that a vote that was 75% a couple years ago is now.
That was a different vote.
That was just kind of an example, but.
Yeah. But still. It's happening right now. And that's why I kind of alluded to that. Like, we're unspoken. Why are we? I think that's, it seems like that's what's happening when we're there. Why are we quiet? He's what we need at the conference because everybody else is quiet. I don't know.
I'll say this. Now you know why we need to be in prayer for.
Yeah, in saying that, please do.
The moderator-elect, it's a woman, is from the 7th District, and by all
Danita. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we know Danita's parents
Yes, Samuel. Yeah, she's
if we really care, then we're going to be praying for this, and that she would be strong, that she would continue her godly stance, and that is a very good thing. We also know who was up against her conference. They made good decisions.
They did.
And our coming one this year, Samuel, is going to be
good.
He spoke at the BRF luncheon and gave his life story and gave us some things. And I tell you, I think God is blessing us through with, in my mind, the next 2 years.
The next two, yeah.
Of having very people.
Next year is Samuel. The next year is Danita.
And Samuel is from Nigeria.
Yeah.
He's pastoring a church in Illinois, I believe it. I might be wrong with that. Illinois or Indiana.
It's one of those two states.
He's pastoring out there. And his sharing at the BRM banquet was very interesting.
Yeah.
And last Sunday, he was up at Harrisburg First Church for a meet and greet. He was up there.
Joanne said, I think, at that luncheon, we weren't at the luncheon, but...
they didn't eat lunch.
Yeah. They were starved. No. Joanne, what did you say? He said that he wanted this, our next moderator, Samuel, he wanted to put aside all the business and...
They asked him what are his goals for next year.
Oh.
He said one of his goals would be to lay aside all business, at least for part of the time, and just around the tables to dig into Scripture. Whether he'll be able to do that or get that pulled off, I don't know. But
yeah. The next 2 years are going to be... Right. We
And I must say, we are part of a very good district as far as Bible believing.
Yeah.
And so we need to really support them. And if any change is going to come, it's going to come from the district, like Southern or Atlanta Northeast.
So that still comes back to my personal relationship with God.
District, you heard her talk about Craig Smith. He retired at the end of December. We are now in the process of searching for a new district executive. Yeah. We have a search committee that is looking for a person, and I think they may have extended it, but July 31st is going to be the end of applications coming in for that. But be in prayer for the search committee as they seek out people to come and serve the Atlanta Northeast District. It was 19 years ago since
I think for the whole thing, that was very encouraging for our church in particular, and exactly what we're doing and what we're working towards and what our sermons are about and where we stand. It was very encouraging from that point of view for us, I think. So.
Yeah, and it seems like the Atlantic Northeast is, we talked to quite a few pastors, or some of them are pastors, some of them are delegates from our district, and it was encouraging to talk to them as well, because I mean we're on the same page as they're on, which is very encouraging. So, thank you for sending us. One more thing, I'm pretty good friends with Jim Rowland, who is the pastor over at East Fairview Church of the Brethren. Will and I graduated with his daughter. They were there, which was nice to see them. I haven't seen them in a while. And they said from their church, they send their delegates like 2 consecutive years. And he kind of spoke on that a little bit to me. And I thought that, I don't know if that's Yeah, I didn't know if that was something that we should do, or just so you can have at least some kind of at least like 1 year of knowledge of the business that had been going on the previous year, because there are things that we were supposed to talk about, I think, even from Sean and Laura's when they went last year, that we still didn't get to this year. And there was like new business from this year as well that we didn't get to, but there was like old business that was never gotten to as well, because of some of these things that took up a huge amount of time. So yeah, just maybe a thought on that as well. So yeah, how long did I talk? I don't even know. Oh, forever. Oh my God. Everyone's hungry now.
I think we want to close with a song then.
Oh yes, we want to close with our song. So our the Risk Hope was our was our theme, and this wonderful lady came up with this song, right? She wrote it, yeah, about risking hope, and that was one of the songs that I liked when we were there. And so, yeah, she named it Risk Hope, and she came up with the chords and stuff, and we're going to try and sing it. Well, you're going to, yeah, you have to sing with us. Yeah. It was good.
We discussed our giftings in Sunday school, and this is not one of mine.
Or mine.
So stand up. Just sing if you think you know it. If you don't, just sing anyway.
Okay. Help us out here.
Okay, girls, I'm just going to play a couple beats, and we're just going to come in.
Oh, you're
okay?
Just going to go right into it.
That would be correct.
That's
okay, we're getting there.
There's discussion back there. Can you put the words
up
for us?
First words, because it starts right away.
Yeah.
There's not going to be much of an intro.
Uh-oh. Technical difficulties.
Emily, could you read the words while
there? Oh, okay, here we go. Am I too close to it? Maybe. It says, in the twilight of our living, in the face of suffering, there's a gentle voice that's saying, trust in me. Through our
Though
our harried lives might hide it, and our doubts may override, still God's Spirit is inviting us to sing. Risk hope in the story of the prophets long ago. Risk hope in the God of love who gave his only son. Jesus came to put some skin on the promise long foretold that in this web of love God's weaving, there's a place for you and me. Risk hope.
Yeah, I only play chords, so that'll be a little bit hard. So, okay, go ahead, Joe. Here
okay.
We go, girls.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you three beats, okay?
Oh, three beats.
Just three down chords, okay?
You got it.